For two full turns of days and nights, Siona failed to seal her face mask, losing precious water with every breath. It had taken the Fremen admonition to children before Siona remembered her father's words. Leto had spoken to her finally on the cold third morning of their traverse, when they stopped within a rock shadow on the windswept flat of the Urg.
"Guard every breath, for it carries the warmth and moisture of your life," he said.
He had known they would be 3 more days on the Urg and 3 more nights beyond that before they reached water. Now it was the 5th morning from the little citadel's tower. They had entered shallow drifts of sand during the night, not dunes, but dunes could be glimpsed ahead of them, and even the remnants of Habania Ridge were a thin broken line in the distance, if you knew where to look. Now Siona took down the mouth flap of her stillsuit only to speak clearly, and she spoke through black and bleeding lips.
"She has the thirst of desperation," he thought, as he let his senses probe their surroundings. "She will reach the moments of crisis soon."
His senses told him that they were still alone here at the edge of the flat. Dawn lay only minutes behind them. The low light created barriers of dust reflection which twisted and lifted and dipped in the unceasing wind. His senses filtered out the wind that he might hear other things. Siona's heaving breaths, the tumble of a small sand spill from the rocks beside them, his own gross body grating in the thin sand cover. Siona peeled her face mask aside, but held it in her hand for quick restoration.
"How much longer until we find water?" she asked.
3 nights.
Is there a better direction to go?
No.
She had come to appreciate the Fremen economy with important information. She sipped greedily at a few drops in her catch pocket. Leto recognized the message of her movements, familiar gestures for Fremen in extremis. Siona was now fully aware of a common experience among her ancestors, patille, the thirst at the edge of death. The few drops in her catch pocket were gone. He heard her sucking air. She restored the mask and spoke in a muffled voice.
"I won't make it, will I?"
Leto looked into her eyes, seeing there the clarity of thought brought on by the nearness of death, a penetrating awareness seldom otherwise achieved. It amplified only that which was required for survival. Yes, she was well into the tida reagrimi, the agony which opens the mind. Soon she would have to make that ultimate decision which she yet believed she had already made. Leto knew by the signs that he was required to treat Siona now with extreme courtesy. He would have to answer every question with candor, for in every question lurked a judgment.
"Will I?"
she insisted. There was still a trace of hope in her desperation.
"Nothing is certain," he said.
This dropped her into despair. That had not been Leto's intention, but he knew that it often happened. An accurate, though ambiguous, answer was taken as confirmation of one's deepest fears. She sighed. Her mask-muffled voice probed at him once more.
"You had some special intention for me in your breeding program."
It was not a question.
"All people have intentions," he told her.
"But you wanted my full agreement."
"That is true."
"How could you expect agreement when you know I hate everything about you? Be honest with me."
"The 3 legs of the agreement tripod are desire, data, and doubt. Accuracy and honesty have little to do with it."
"Please don't argue with me. You know I'm dying."
"I respect you too much to argue with you."
He lifted his front segment slightly then, probing the wind. It already was beginning to bring the day's heat, but there was too much moisture in it for his comfort. He was reminded that the more he ordered the weather controlled, the more there was that required control. Absolutes only brought him closer to vagaries.
"You say you're not arguing, but—"
"Argument closes off the doors of the senses,"
he said, lowering himself back to the surface.
"It always masks violence. Continue too long, argument always leads to violence. I have no violent intentions toward you."
"What do you mean? Desire, data, and doubt?"
"Desire brings the participants together. Data set the limits of their dialogue. Doubt frames the questions."
She moved closer to stare directly into his face from less than a meter away. How odd, he thought, that hatred could be mingled so completely with hope and fear and awe.
"Could you save me?"
"There is a way."
She nodded, and he knew she had leaped to the wrong conclusion.
"You want to trade that for my agreement," she accused.
"No.
If I pass your test—"
"It is not my test."
"Whose?"
"It derives from our common ancestors."
Siona sank to a sitting position on the cold rock and remained silent, not yet ready to ask for a resting place within the lip of his warm front segment. Leto thought he could hear the soft scream waiting in her throat. Now her doubts were at work. She was beginning to wonder if he really could be fitted into her image of ultimate tyrant. She looked up at him with that terrible clarity he had identified in her.
"What makes you do what you do?"
The question was well framed. He said,
"My need to save the people."
"What people?"
"My definition is much broader than that of anyone else, even of the Bene Gesserit, who think they have defined what it is to be human. I refer to the eternal thread of all humankind by whatever definition."
"You're trying to tell me?"
Her mouth became too dry for speaking. She tried to accumulate saliva. He saw the movements within her face mask. Her question was obvious, though, and he did not wait.
"Without me, there would have been by now no people anywhere, none whatsoever, and the path to that extinction was more hideous than your wildest imaginings."
"Your supposed prescience," she sneered.
"The golden path still stands open," he said.